Welcome back to Super Tatis for Parshas Baaloscha. There is so much to say this week. I'll start with a couple of stories and try to keep to our time. There's a story about the stipler, which is known, that a father went to the stipler and was concerned, expressed concerns about his child's midos. And the stipler listened to him and he asked for advice what to do. He said, why don't you guys, maybe learn Orchos Tzadikim. It's a great sefer, and it could really impress upon the lives of young people. So after a certain period of time, the father was makabel, and he came back, and he said, the kid's worse. So Stipler said, well, how did you persuade your son to learn with you? And the father said, I spoke with him. He said, look, I said, listen, buddy, your midos aren't so good. You have all these chisronos. I think that this could help you. And then I hit him on the head and I said, change yourself already. Do tshuva. The stipler didn't like this. He got upset and he raised his voice with the father. He said, you ruined it all. And he said, how are you supposed to influence the kid? When he hears such hard words like that, I mean, such harsh, things, it doesn't work. What you need to do is basically the opposite of what you did. You say, look, this is one of the most special Sfarim. I love this very much, and I am looking for a chavrusa that can learn with me with a little bit of kvius, right? And since I love the sefer so much, since I love you so much, I'd love to learn with you. Maybe you'd agree with me to learn. And he said, you know, there are parents that just don't understand the importance of expressing to children things that they are going to accept, right? Now, it doesn't always mean that they have to be harsh, or it doesn't mean always that they have to be so challenging, but it's clear that extreme measures are going to get extreme results. And the story goes further that, you know, there are parents who create a situation where it's almost impossible for their children to listen to them. And there are parents who create a situation where it's almost impossible for their children not to listen to them. You need to consider the ways to make the decisions that would allow us to be obviously in the right of those two camps. The next story is a cool story. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. But it was a Rebbe story, Rebbe Shmuel Mikaminka. So he was gathering money for Maus Chitim, and, he was trying to take care of Aniyim, and it's a natural tendency. People aren't always as excited to part with their money as some may hope. So, he was gathering, and he got to a gvir. And the Gvir had plenty of money, and he asked the Gvir for a significant amount of money, and the Gvir was a little bit, was a little hesitant. Said, what are you worried about? Well, it's a lot of money to give away. He said, look, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you a promissory note. It's a shtar hischayvus, right? I'm going to get two very, very chashuva guarantors, and the guarantors will sign that you're going to get all the money that you gave to Tzedakah back. He said, that's great, but it's only the quality of the guarantors that really matter. So who are these guarantors? The Rav Mikaminka said the following. One is Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the Rambam, because he writes in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Perek Yud Halacha Beis, that a person does not become poor from tzedakah, and nothing bad ever happens to them from giving tzedakah. And the second Ariv, his name is Rabbi Yosef Karo. That's the Beis Yosef, because he brought these words down in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tzedakah in Yeridea Resh Mem Zayin Beis. Those were the two Arivim, and I hope that those are sufficient enough. Next is a story about the stipler. And this story about the stipler sounds like it's a divertir, but it isn't. We learn about the tenufa of Aron HaKohen of all of the Levim. And in Ches Yud Aleph, it says, V'nifa Aron as Levim tnufa livnei Hashem. So tnufa is a weaving. So there's a little bit of a kasha here. It's a pella. How could it be that Aron HaKohen could take 22,000 Levim and do that all in one day? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says in Taima Dekra, his father answered the question, said, well, when I learned Chumash, he explained to me that Aaron basically created a leverage system. He did leverage, and on one side there were big heavy rocks, and on the other side there was a levy. And with this, Aaron was able to properly do the tenufa. So the most important thing to me is the imagination of how palpable when you're learning Chumash is. It's very important that we don't turn it into a ritual of just saying words. It's very important that we think about it and we take it seriously, even things which we kind of have learned, you know, on the first, you know, on the first cut or whatever. It's very important for us to kind of go back and make them substantial and real and palpable. So next, Alpi Hashem Yachanu, Alpi Hashem Yisau, a really important thing. There are a lot of people, I hope, and of the people who listen and your families are very medactic on their language. They spend a lot of time thinking about the way that they express themselves, both for a going forward basis and looking back in the past. And there are people who are potentially, you know, excessively makpid about the Yemirtz Hashems, the Bezras Hashems, the, you know, and that language. And there are some people who are very, very makpid not to say it. People like to, you know, they want to be exact. They don't want to waste their words. It's implied. Everybody knows, like, it can occasionally become an obstacle of communication. So, you know, people have made, you know, overtures in both directions. Where does this idea come from? So it says the Shlach Kadosh, she says that this is an idea that we see Al Pi Hashem Yachanu V'Al Pi Hashem Yisau, that the Shem Shamayim should always be in a person's... Next up is a idea from the Divrei Harim Rav Yonasan Mordechai Lanter. So when Aaron is shown, this is the Rashi, the Chazal, that's with Rashi, it says, Ba'alos Chasan Neros, when Aaron saw the Chanukas HaNasiim, he had this Chalishas Das, and he was sad that, or at least emotionally affected, that he did not, that neither he nor his Shevet had the ability to participate in such a way. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Chayecha Shelcha Gedola Mishelahem. He says, by your life, that which is yours is greater than theirs. So what is Shelcha mean? So says the Divrei Harim, it's the Chalisha Sadas that you're having, this emotional impact that you have a tsar in your heart because you want to bring in a dava, that is greater than the fact that they bring their nadava themselves, because really the heart is the ikar of Avodas Hashem. And since your heart is so special, it may outweigh that which they have the opportunity to do. Next is the Bina Le'itim. So this is Rav Azaria Pilago. This is by the name Kivros HaTava. So Kivros HaTava, when everybody else saw what had happened at Kivros HaTava, the Misavim, because of their taiva, you know, they had a terrible downfall. Then, because of that, all the people around them decided to work on the mita of taiva, to try to take care of that taiva. And that's why they call the place Kivros HaTaiva and not Kivros HaMisavim. This is the burial of taiva and not the burial of those who were Balei taiva. And that's because of the change in the midos that the people who were there had undergone. So the next is a handful of Orachayims. The first one, it says, sometimes it was a lot of time, sometimes it was a little time with respect to the clouds, and the travels sometimes were very, very choppy, and sometimes it was a long time in one place. So why does it go out of the way to explain all of this and to say it as if it were the same, in the same language almost? Because you want to know that the nesia that they have, there was no ma'akiv, right? Not even once. They always did it l'ratzon Hashem. If it was after a year or after a day, all they wanted to do was be with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to do, that was them. And I'd add that this is the highest level of bitachon from the Shar Bitachon, is that, when you have this mid of Yishtavus, you just want to be with the Ribbono Shel Olam wherever you are, and that is really your only ratzon. Next is when Hashem gets very angry about the people being bochel mishpachos sav. So it says, v'chara Hashem, af Hashem, ma'od. Hashem got very upset with Ine Moshe Ra. And why is it ma'od? Asks the Or HaChaim. He says, because anybody who does something bad or wrong or evil because of their Yetzer Hara, and because of their taivas or whatever, then you can say it's an onis. They were fooled, tricked. The Yetzer Hara got the better of them. But those who seek to do it, right? Those who seek and want to do it, they're as if they're stoking the coals of the Yetzer Hara. And there's nothing worse than that, saying, give me a little bit more. So next we have El Ha'amsh Tomar. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, wait till tomorrow, interestingly, says Yizka Dashu. Kam holi l'machar ve'achaltem bosar, you'll eat meat. Ki b'chisein boz ne Hashem, because you cried in Hashem's name, le'mor, mi'achil enu bosar, who's going to feed us meat? Ki tov lanu b'mitzrayim, it was better in Mitzrayim than us, and Hashem's going to give you bosar. So what happens? So why does he say tomorrow? Well, what's the deal with tomorrow? So what is Hizka Dashu? And here's what the Sifri says. It says they got themselves ready for Puranus. Get yourself ready for punishment. What does this mean? It's that the Or HaChaim explains Hashem didn't want to punish them immediately until he explained them that there is a punishment, there are repercussions for this, by giving them the meat that they had requested. So this is a hasra. It's a warning. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them a little bit of extra time to do cheshbon nefesh. Maybe they'll do tshuva, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu can then turn back and not have to punish them. Okay, so now on to our thinking question. So in Perek Yud Pasuk Chavtes, it says, Nosim anachnu el hamakom, we're going to this place. And Rashi says, why did Moshe include himself? Because the Gezerah hasn't been made on him, and he assumed that he was going to go in Eretz Yisrael, just like everything else. And this is kind of difficult to say, because in Parshas Beshalach, all the way back, Rashi, there in Shiras Hayam, Tezvav Yudzayin, says, Tiviyemo v'sita eimo bahar nachalasecha. There, he says, Moshe had a Navi, in Nevuah, pardon me, that he wasn't going in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why he doesn't say Tevi en Nu. He doesn't include himself there because he didn't think he was going. So if during Kriyas Yamsuf, which predates this, Moshe had a Nevuah that he wasn't going to Eretz Yisrael, why would he act as if there was a chance even, and even include himself as if he expected it to happen, that he was going into Eretz Yisrael? Have a wonderful Shabbos.